Hi, I'm Allison Kubo.
Hi, I'm Roger Goldman. Welcome to Mountain Money.
The next 18 months are going to be difficult as the economy finds a new stable base to operate from, says Larry Chester, founder and president of CFO Simplified. But planning will allow the smart business owner to not only survive, but take advantage of the opportunities. Larry joins us this morning to talk about how small to medium-sized businesses can prepare for the realities of the new economy as the deluge of government subsidies enacted during the pandemic comes to a close. Larry, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I did some research on you before we had our segment this morning, and your career experience focuses on helping companies work their way through a crisis. Can you share a bit about your background and how your experience has helped your clients over the last 18 months?
Sure. You know, I was a corporate CFO for 25 years before I started my consulting company. So I worked for a number of businesses, anywhere from, you know, they were like the smallest one was $1.5 million a year in sales, and the largest was $100 million a year in sales, and in many different industries. And I really enjoyed that because it gave me an opportunity to really help a lot of different kinds of businesses go through the difficulties that they were facing. And some of those difficulties are, you know, how to find enough cash to operate the business, how to operate the business more efficiently, you know, how do you deal with customers, with banks, how do you really plan for the future and I think be strategic. And when I started my consulting practice, one of the things that I did was I initially started working in business turnaround, helping businesses that were really in difficulty. And one of the classic cases, and this still happens to this day, is a business owner who called me and said that he really needed us to start working for him tomorrow, if you can believe that. And so I arrived at his plant Wednesday morning, and he ushered me into his office, closed the door, and said, "I'm so glad you're here. I really need a CFO. Your first job is to figure out how we're going to get enough money to cover payroll on Friday." These are the kinds of problems that business owners can avoid with good planning ahead of time, but not everybody does, you know. So after that, I worked in business turnaround, helped that business and many others. Then I worked for a bankruptcy trustee for 2 years, not only taking businesses that had failed and selling the pieces of them, but also taking companies that had fallen apart and putting the pieces back together and selling them as a going concern. And that was really instrumental to giving me the tools that I needed, in addition to the 25 years of experience before that, to really be able to work with small to mid-sized businesses and help guide them through difficult times going forward. And those difficult times not only are times when a business is struggling, but also there are businesses who are growing so fast that they can't manage the growth. And the entrepreneur literally has a tiger by the tail, and he doesn't know what he needs to do next to keep from falling off a cliff.
The idea of being that kind of a consultant with a crisis management bent and parachuting into companies, obviously is a high-stress way to make a living. How often, when you'd come into a company like that, would you look around and say, "Wow, this could have been easily avoided if only X"?
Oh, I think that's the commonality of almost every business we walk into. I think every business owner faces difficulties on a day-to-day basis. The issue is how flexible are they and how willing are they to make the changes that are needed to be able to be successful with any problem that they have. I think the reality is that every business owner or every employee that works in a business faces problems on a day-to-day basis. Every time the phone rings, you never know what that's going to be. Is it going to be a customer who didn't get their order? Is it going to be a supplier that can't ship on time? Is it going to be an employee who's critical to the operation that can't come to work today because he's sick or his wife got ill and he's got to stay home and take care of the kids? I mean, these are all problems that people face on a day-to-day basis. And the question is, how flexible is the business owner to be able to adjust to all those changes that occur? One of the things I say to business owners over and over again is, you have to be willing to accept change and really embrace it, because you don't know what's coming next. And the changes that you have to be able to address may be challenges to the business itself, or they may be opportunities. But if you're not willing to accept and embrace those changes, the world is going to pass you by. You can't be in a position where you say, well, you know, that looks like it's going to be difficult, so we'll just pass on that. I mean, I remember once I was working for a company, and we were a supplier of private label machine tools for Sears. And Sears called us and said, we want you to introduce a new product line for us. And so we went to the bank knowing that we were going to need about $1.5 million to be able to get the tooling, do the designs, fill the pipeline to be able to start delivering to Sears. So I turned to the bank and said, look, we're going to need an extra $1.5 million in addition to our current borrowing to be able to do this. And the banker looked at me and said, well, you guys are reasonably profitable. I think within 2 to 3 years, you should be able to build up that kind of additional cash within your business. And then you can turn to Sears and say, you know, we're more than happy to do that. Well, are you kidding? Sears wasn't going to wait a year and a half for us to be able to, or a couple of years for us to be able to get the money together to be able to do that. So we went to a different bank and they supported us. And we grew that business from $8 million a year to $45 million a year in about 8 years. And that's the key. You've got to be creative, you have to be flexible, and you have to be willing to accept the challenges. I've always considered myself a firefighter. I love going into businesses that have problems and help a business owner figure out what's needed and what skills and what things we need to do to be able to solve those problems so we can continue to forge ahead.
I can only imagine those three things, flexibility, creativity, and accepting challenges, was what hit business owners in the face when the pandemic came. So you had talked about some of the realities that business owners face just every day. What are the realities of this new economy we're in?
Well, I think, you know, the government did what they needed to do to put money back into the hands of business owners who were able to pass that down to their employees so that their employees could continue to live and, you know, pay rent, pay gas for their car, put food on the table. But the reality is that right now the market has changed. That money is no longer available. So business owners really need to be, if they haven't been creative up to this point, you know, they're probably not here anymore. But they need to be able to really understand where their current business fits into the current marketplace and what they need to do to find new customers, to provide new services or new products for those customers, and to continue to survive and grow their businesses forward. And that means not just products and services, but it means making sure that you have employees who are trained and cross-trained to be able to take care of things that are going to present themselves. And you need to make sure that your supply chain is sufficient to be able to service the products that you're building or the services you're providing to your customer base. And take a look at your current customer base and say, what are the things that they need to be able to survive and to be able to fill their needs? And how do you provide those services to them? You know, the interesting thing is everybody's looking for new customers all the time. And the question is, if you have a customer, how do you keep that customer satisfied so that they continue to buy from you? So when you talk to business owners who are your current customers, one of the things that you need to continually address is, what more can we provide for you? What are the things that you need that we could potentially deliver to you in spite of the fact that you're maybe currently buying that from somebody else, or it may be something that you're thinking about in the future? How can we work as a partner with you to continue to grow your business and therefore grow ours at the same time?
Last week, I happened to be in downtown Washington, D.C. at lunchtime, and I went into a nice restaurant, and it was less than a third full. Two years ago, it wouldn't have been that way. What are you seeing in terms of the long-term changes as a result of the pandemic, particularly with respect to things like real estate and office space? And how do you think companies should be adapting to that?
Well, I guess the question is, you know, there's two sides to every equation, and you know, there's supply and demand, and that's really what's driven the capitalist economy forever and will continue to. I think that the commercial environment is certainly facing challenges right now. I have a client that is literally an owner of commercial buildings, and what they've been doing for the last 18 months is buying more buildings.
Wow.
Because the real estate market in the commercial area is somewhat depressed, and they've been buying additional assets because their feeling is that things are going to come back. People are not going to continue to work at home for the next, well, let's call it the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. There is a need to work in a central business district, in a central business area. I mean, I happen to live in Chicago. The downtown area of Chicago is not going to disappear. These high-rise buildings are not going to be vacant. People are starting to move back into them now. But I think that there are things that are going to change in the market. I think people are working at home and are going to want to continue to work at home. I think that's shifted the work-life balance. People are in a position where they can now walk their kids to school in the morning as opposed to having somebody else take care of their kids to get to school and be latchkeys on their way home. They can spend that time to make sure they get situated. But they need to spend a certain amount of time in the office because that personal collaboration is very important, that interpersonal collaboration. I mean, I've been on Zoom for 2 years now, I think, as everybody has, okay? And I had an in-person meeting with a networking group that I'm involved in, and the biggest shock is seeing people in person because, you know, everybody on Zoom is the same height.
Some of us find that as an advantage, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, no, I am one of those. Okay, but the reality is that I met people who were significantly taller than I thought they were, or significantly shorter than I thought they were, because you just have no frame of reference. And I found also that people work, I think people work more efficiently face to face. I know people that have adapted their work style to being online and have said, look, I have no interest in going back to a face-to-face environment where I have to drive for a half an hour to a meeting and drive for a half an hour back. How inefficient is that? I could have had two more phone calls, two more selling opportunities in that interim. But what I found is that when I'm sitting face-to-face with a business owner, I can hear his breathing. I know what he's nervous about. I can see, you know, how he's reacting. I can see his body language. I can interact with him much more easily and much more quickly. I think you develop a relationship. We are human beings. We develop relationships by that personal contact. And I think that that's going to return. I am certainly meeting with more people face-to-face now than I, in the last 2 months, than I have in the whole 18 months prior to that. And I think my business is reacting to that from that perspective. Our clients are asking us to be in on site more frequently than they were previously. I think people are anxious to get back to that face-to-face.
That example and where you had taken the investment in commercial real estate really talks about risk and time frame. And so when business owners are looking at the next 18 months, how should they be weighing that? You know, we don't know when things are going to come back, but the risk also has some great rewards.
Well, for the last 2 years, and I, you know, I don't want to say that I predicted the pandemic, but I have been talking about a recession and a drop in the economy over two years ago. And what I said to people was that they needed to really conserve cash and to reduce debt, which is the same thing I'm telling business owners now, because during a recession, there are opportunities for the strong companies to grow. And what does that growth look like? Well, the growth looks like this. There are companies that are going to fail. When those companies fail, there are assets, customers, opportunities that are sitting there by the sidelines. And the business that has been prepared, that has not spent themselves to the point where they're using 90% of their credit line, where they have all their money tied up in inventory and don't have any cash available, those companies that have been prepared and are able to make moves moving forward are those that are going to be able to buy their competition, buy additional product lines, buy additional manufacturing capability, buy additional customers, bring on additional employees, and expand their market.
You know, earlier
that's happened in the last recessions too, and it's certainly, I think, exists today. And I think there are businesses that are not going to be able to recover as quickly. Certainly, the hospitality industry is still struggling and is going to struggle for a while. But from a manufacturing and a distribution point of view, I think there are huge opportunities available.
You know, earlier in the interview, you mentioned someone adopting what I would think of as a contrarian strategy, which is to buy additional commercial real estate in the face of this downturn. Can you share with us other anecdotes about clients or others you have seen adopting a creative and interesting approach to the current environment? People who are doing something different.
You know, it's interesting. There are certainly businesses who have seen opportunities where they have taken advantage of them. For instance, you look at liquor manufacturers who have shifted at the beginning of the pandemic and stopped producing vodka and gin and other things and produced hand sanitizer instead. But I have a client who is a printer. They print cocktail napkins and accessories for parties and entertainment events. And what they did was they went into the printing of masks for people. So if people wanted to get together, they would print a mask that said, you know, thanks for coming to the wedding of Bert and Shirley, you know? And so they printed these masks. And quite honestly, their business grew during the last 2 years because this was an opportunity that they took advantage of. And I don't know that anybody would have anticipated that. Yeah.
One thing, again, while they had that great idea they could follow, I'm assuming they had then those resources that you're talking about. They had cash on hand to be able to either buy new equipment or, you know, in new inventory. Like, were they in a good state in order to be able to take that jump?
Yes, and I think the key here was that they had the equipment to be able to print the masks and the distribution facility to be able to distribute them and the order processing to be able to process the orders. What they needed to do was get the raw material, the masks that they could then develop. And so they found a Chinese manufacturer to develop the masks for them that they had been buying other paper products from, other napkins from, and they turned to them and said, look, can you do this for us? And bingo, they did. And certainly, they had cash to be able to buy that inventory. And that's why I always look at business owners who say to me, and this is really kind of a classic. They say to me, I need a new bank. And I say, why do you need a new bank? And they say, well, my bank's not giving me enough money to run my business. And I say, well, why suddenly don't you have enough money to run your business? And they said, well, you know, things have happened and now we're up at the top of our credit line. And I asked the bank for some more credit line and they're not giving it to me. Well, the problem is, how are you using that credit line? And I think the issue is, do you understand what your cash flow is within a business, and are you using your money efficiently and effectively? So the company that is using 50% of their credit line on an ongoing basis, that is using their credit line for what it should be used for, which is the variances in cash collections. So for instance, if you have a large customer and they don't pay you for 3 weeks, well, you can't turn to your employees and say, hey, look, John's manufacturing company didn't pay us for the last couple of weeks. They're late in their payments, so we're hoping you guys can just sit tight and hold on for your paychecks for a couple of weeks. You know, it's up to the manufacturer, to the business, the employer, to have enough cash available to cover those variances in cash collections so that they can cover their ongoing overhead expenses. Well, if you're operating at 90, 95% of your credit line, you're not able to do that. If you're using your credit line to cover operating losses, you're not going to be able to do that. A company that's using 25 to 50% of their credit line and then is paying it down. So if you've got, and I'll just use simple numbers here, if you've got a credit line of $100,000 and you're borrowing generally $30,000 to $40,000 on an ongoing basis, and then you get a lot of money and then you pay it down to $10,000 and then you buy more inventory, and you have to buy that and pay for it, so that jumps up to $35,000 or $40,000. Well, then you sell that inventory and you pay it down again. I mean, that's what a credit line is to be used for. It's not because you opened up a new line of merchandise that you're selling and you're losing money on it. And so you're using your credit line to shore up the losses for that new product line that you produced. I'm sorry. So if the bank turns to you and says, no, I'm not going to give you additional money on your credit line, there's a reason why.
Last week we did a show about complexities in the supply chain. Talk to us a little bit about how you've seen businesses successfully adapt to the current problems we're seeing worldwide and supply chain issues.
Oh boy, if I was a genie, I'm telling you. I think that this is an issue that's really global, certainly, and I don't know that there's any quick solution to it. I was listening to somebody the other day who was saying that they expected this problem to resolve itself sometime within the next 6 months to a year. That's a long time. And I don't know what businesses are going to do who are depending on bringing in product from China, for instance, and you know, there's no alternate supply for them. I think that's one of the things that's going to drive inflation. Because if I was a business, I'm just being honest with you, if I was a business and I had a limited amount of product and everybody needed it, and I didn't have a ready source of resupply, what am I going to do? I'm going to raise my price. If people need my product, let them pay more for it to be able to shore up my bottom line. I think that's just logic. And I'm not sure exactly what people can do to solve that problem. I know that years ago when I was working for a company and we were importing product from China and Long Beach was all booked up. I mean, there was no way of getting things through Long Beach. We moved some of our products so that they were coming on shipping lines that were going up to Portland, to other inbound ports so that we could have product coming in that wasn't being tied up in Long Beach. But I think the entire Western Seaboard is tied up. And I've heard also that there, because of all of the ships that aren't being unloaded, there's another problem, and that is there's no containers for people to put product on. The containers are all tied up on ships waiting to be unloaded. That's a multiple problem, and I'm not sure exactly what a solution is other than just letting the problem work itself out.
Well, we've been speaking with Larry Chester. He is the founder and president of CFO Simplified. Larry, your breadth of experience has definitely helped open this conversation and provide a new perspective. Thank you for your time with us this morning.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
You've been listening to KPCW's Mountain Money. Do you love Mountain Money? Let us know. Leave us a review.